Oh.
said Tiffany Merrill, who told CBS North Carolina she saw the creature from her kitchen window early one morning. It was very large, and its hair was super long.
Super long.
Super,
And
super long.
glossy.
And glossy. It had a glow.
Yeah.
And when he moved, the light hit it.
And it was just beach waves.
You know what? Sasquatching. Balayage.
Yes.
Right? Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Long drawn out.
Stuff you're like, what's the point of this article? Why do I even have this? You know what? Okay, I'm kicking off with it.
Okay, what you got?
The 90s are coming back, and everyone looks like an asshole again. Like, some of the worst fads ever. So I went online.
What were the worst fads of the 90s? Come on.
Well, I have
weren't
them
here. So bad. Okay.
Like, because I wasn't that fashionable, because I went to boarding school, and we just basically dressed like the, you know, preppy handbook. Like,
okay.
It was very, because we had a...
Pop a collar.
Well, we had a dress code also, so it was kind of like you couldn't get that crazy with it. And also, no one really cared that much, you know, because we were like in a small environment. We couldn't really do a lot of shopping. But I remember when I got out of boarding school and the 90s were still going on, I was like, what's going on? People are wearing all kinds of stuff.
There were baby doll dresses.
Those were the worst.
Those were the Courtney Love dresses.
I couldn't do it because I already had big cans. And you know those are tiny t-shirts that everybody was wearing?
Yes.
I'm like, this is a half shirt.
Right. It was a baby tee.
Baby tee.
It was called a baby tee.
Not on me.
It had little tiny...
It was a half shirt on me.
Little tiny sleeves.
And some that was frill. Sometimes it had like an unfinished hem.
Right. And then it was almost... Just showed a little peek of the belly.
Yeah. And at that point, no one needed to see my belly already.
Yeah.
Like it was too late for my belly. So I looked up these 90s horrible fads. And you can tell me if you remember or rocked any of these.
Okay.
Rice necklaces. This is your name on a piece of rice in a vial around your neck.
No, I did not.
Do you remember those?
I do remember, but I did not rock it.
My name is quite long. I do remember
do
people having a grain of rice and what I thought was like a little tube. And I'm like, what's going on?
No. In Central Park, you can get that done.
Still?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Your name
on
a piece of rice.
I'm going to end up eating it.
At the end of days.
Yeah.
I got a grain of rice. So stonewashed denim overalls and then wearing it with one strap.
Yes.
I did wear overalls, but they were not stonewashed, but they did suck.
Yeah, I wore overalls, but I didn't do the one strap.
Yes, but you weren't.
I was like, I need...
You weren't hip enough.
I was responsible.
Yeah. Here's another one. Vests.
Yes.
I remember people wearing vests.
I
did not wear a vest. Because I wasn't sure how to do it.
I wore a vest.
And I wasn't sure it was cool. Did you have what kind of vest? Was it a men's vest?
No, they were usually...
You know what I mean? Like menswear style?
It was like feminized in a way that it had this embroidery on it.
Oh my God, you went with full flair.
Yeah. And I remember I was working at a celebrity party. I was passing hors d'oeuvres at a celebrity party. And we all had to wear black pants, a white turtleneck, and they assigned a vest. And you had to wear a vest.
Turtleneck.
Yeah, a white turtle. And we all were like, yeah, this
is great. No problem. I have several of those. Do people wear turtlenecks anymore? I remember rocking turtlenecks hardcore.
I love turtlenecks still. But we all wore it. We were like, this is fine.
This is great.
This is in style.
I bet the celebrities are like great staff. Like, what the hell?
So you know who was at that party? We talked about in our last podcast.
Was it Liam Neeson?
No, Melanie Griffith and Don Johnson.
Oh, wow. And here we come full circle.
Yes.
Plastic tattoo choker necklaces.
Plastic tattoo choker. Yes, I
from,
wore them.
From
Claire's. I
rocked
them.
You rocked those.
I rocked the chokers.
I didn't like chokers. I felt like it was constricting.
No, I wore them. And I wore the one that was also a big fad. It was a black cord with a big giant cross.
Yes.
Yeah,
or
that.
A bead. As well, that someone made. Slap bracelets. I never did that.
Never did it.
Never did that at all. Butterfly clips. Guilty.
Yep. Still do.
Totally guilty.
But not out of the house. I don't wear those clips in
You
public.
Still have clips?
I still have clips, but I'll
Where'd
wear them.
Where'd you get them from?
Butterfly clips?
Yeah. They still sell them?
I still
them?
Sell them,
okay.
Sure. But I wear them
I think
at
I
home.
Have some. When I was
alone.
At home. When I was at home, I found some original ones.
Yeah.
That were like hot pink or like electric blue. Chain wallets. I so remember guys wearing those.
Guys had them all the time.
And I so remember wishing to rip someone's pants off with a chain wallet. Like, I always wanted to see that happen and it never did. Printed bike shorts.
Printed bike shorts. I saw bike shorts, sure, but printed, what do you mean?
It says printed bike shorts to wear, oh, to wear under dresses, skirts, and giant t-shirts.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh, that was a staple.
Also, the black nylon Prada bag. I remember some rich bitches had these.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time when I went to college, I saw one up close for the first time. Because no one where I was from had them, or no one I knew had one. And I was like, it's a nylon bag.
It's a nylon bag, yes.
It's a nylon bag. And they were super expensive.
Yeah.
And people loved them.
Yeah, because they were not leather, but they were still Prada.
But I didn't understand that they weren't leather until I got up on one. And I was like, this is just a parachute pants bag?
Yeah.
With like a Prada written on it?
Yeah.
Mood ring.
Mood rings did come back. I had them in the 70s. I guess every 20 years they come
back.
Then
mood rings come back again. Also,
mine always said I was in a bad mood. What? Yes, it's always like dark and cloudy.
Dark black.
I was like, come on, blue.
With a little
come on, yellow.
With a light purple around the side.
Yeah. Then nobody would talk to you.
Then there were these things that I remember having these. I didn't know how to use them. It looks like a button, like a large button, and you use it to like cinch your t-shirt on the side.
Yes.
What in the...
That was a great, yeah.
What was it? What is it called?
It didn't have a name, but it would usually come...
Katie is right, people. I researched. There is no name for this item.
There's no name for it. It's just this kind of a circle with
two slits in it.
Right, and you kind of thread your t-shirt and you cinch it. It's cool.
Yeah, you cinch it on the side and it's cool. Some of the other things, so we already talked about the t-shirt and then you put a slip dress over it.
T-shirt, yeah, I did that.
So I did that too, and I looked ridiculous.
Yeah,
like it did not work well at all. Plaid shirts, and then
I had those.
When the 90s really started to catch off, they started taking all the things that people were wearing anyway and making them more ridiculous. So it was like it went from being a plaid shirt to like a long plaid dress.
Yeah,
it was super expensive on the side. Mm-hmm. Apparently, all of these things are coming back now.
Yeah, well, my favorite thing to wear was a jumper, shorts, top combo.
Please stop this podcast.
Stepped into with stockings and high heels. Yeah.
Where were you going?
Going out, man. Going out dancing. And then
was it yoked in the front? Was there like a drop waist of any kind?
No, it was kind of, it was loose all the way around. So it was almost looked like a dress, but
okay.
It wasn't.
But it was shorts.
It was shorts. And then the back was held together with a clip.
No, it was not.
And
wow.
So it accentuated your waist.
Great.
And that's how I walked around at the club.
Did you? That sounds delightful. Was it a print dress?
It was, had a print and some kind of pattern going on.
And this was going out.
And lace around the neckline.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's like it's like a weird mix of like Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know what.
I don't know what. Yeah.
I have no idea.
And my other favorite outfit to wear was the jeans. Like it's also high waist jeans, by the way.
Of course. Yeah. Paper bag waist if you can.
Yeah. With a brown braided belt that I stole from my roommate.
Yeah.
Because
it was awesome.
And a white t-shirt.
Yes! That was a very popular look.
It was a very popular look, and it was just like everybody who was really cool and upscale wore
was
that.
Wearing it.
Yeah, and boots, cowboy boots.
My thing was, I always had a weird sense of style, and I was always like 20% off. So I'm like, no matter what, and then I just went crazy with it. Then I was like, screw it. The thing I remember the most from the 90s when I got to college, a lot of people were wearing that I'd never seen before, were those, and you'd see them because you grew up near New York City, those huge jeans with the massive legs. They were like really big, huge legs.
Yeah.
And they like would sweep the floor almost.
Oh, those were more elephant
Junko
pants.
Jeans.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I remember seeing those on people being like, I don't even know what I'm looking at.
Oh, no. I'm
I hope those don't come
different.
Back. Club people used to wear them. Yeah. They're huge legs on their jeans. It almost looks like a guy's wearing a dress.
Okay.
So, but all of these things apparently are coming back, so just keep an eye out for them.
All right, and I'm going to rock all those looks again. I'm going to dig it out.
The piece of rice with your name on it.
I still have the baby doll dresses.
Do you?
I do, and I'm going to pull them out, and I'm going to wear them.
I got to get the Ampere waist action working. I think I got rid of all that stuff. I think if I try to put that stuff on now, I'll be worse than it was then.
The thing is, you know, with fashion, it's always funny. It's always funny to look at pictures.
But
and
it
see
was,
it later.
At the time, what always freaks me out is at the time, it wasn't funny.
No.
It wasn't funny
and that's,
at all.
It's always going to be this way. Every 10 years, every 20 years, we're going to laugh at ourselves.
Yes.
Everybody's going to laugh at yourself.
I'm laughing at what I had on last week.
Okay. Well, this is what I have here.
What do you have there?
Well, this is what I have here. It's kind of Tales from the Campfire.
Okay. So Tales from Der Campfire, kind of, is a segment that we do where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore, ghost stories, urban legends, and we retell them here around the digital campfire. So
gather around, listeners. Okay. I read a story about this young person who said they were in their room, and it was nighttime. They were in their bed, and the door was open, and down the hallway they saw two green glowing figures about a foot and a half high.
Ooh.
Floating down the hallway and into the room and coming towards.
The figures were a foot and a half tall or was floating a foot and a half off the floor?
They were a foot and a half
that
tall.
That creeps me out.
And they were floating. And one had a hat on, one had a bonnet on.
Jaunty.
Yeah, and they were coming towards the bed. And so
what's with the hat? Okay.
They they know how to turn it out.
Priorities. Yeah. They don't just go. They don't just float.
So this kid was scared and put the blanket over the head like one does.
Yeah, yeah.
And, then looked and they were gone. And they said, I don't even know what they were. What were they?
Okay.
And somebody said, they were probably elemental spirits. And
I don't know anything about that. Elemental spirits.
So I looked that up and this is what I have.
I know Dame Judi Dench played an elemental spirit in The Chronicles of Riddick. That's all I know.
Oh, really?
That's all I know.
What color was she?
She was, she could float through things. So she would show you a human form. But
she would go through solid matter?
Yeah, when she moved, she was more like a ghost.
Okay. So that
she did not have a hat. She had more like a hijab type of situation on. Still, she turned it out.
Okay. Elementals and the elemental kingdom contain creatures such as fairies, goblins, gnomes, and elves, leprechauns, tree people, brownies.
Huh. So I don't know what elemental is at all then. Yeah. I thought I had an idea.
Yeah, elementals basically are spirits of nature that are assigned to a different element.
So you said sprites, brownies, this kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah. And their job is to look after the nature kingdom.
Okay.
They live among plants and animals.
Hmm.
And they're responsible for the therapeutic effects you feel when you go outdoors against amongst nature.
So this is like the children of the forest for all of you Game of Thrones people out there.
So if you go to the beach, the sea, lakes, rivers, parks, or nature reserves, national parks, bushland, and you're feeling good, it's because of the elemental spirits that are taking care of the
I like
area.
That. Yeah. Yeah, did you say bushland?
I said bushland.
Where is bushland? It's like George Bushland.
Gentlemen.
Bushland.
Bushland this way.
Bushland, yeah. Do for bushland.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they attach themselves to practically every living thing. They possess supernatural powers and are usually invisible to humans.
Okay.
They are the cause of earthquakes, floods, gales, thunderstorms, and wildfires.
So they get it on.
Yeah, they have those powers. They can do that. And they do
They can defend themselves or defend the earth.
They do it for their own reasons. They do it.
We don't even know why they do it.
Yeah, it's their own biz.
Who knows why an elemental does what an elemental
does? They don't like the busy and lower vibrations of inner city life, so they're not around here so much at all, actually.
They don't do Times Square.
They don't do Times Square. They don't go to
Maybe
Central Park.
Once a year.
Yeah, they don't even, no, they don't. Won't even. once a year, right?
Shows.
For Hamilton.
Yes, for
They
Hamilton.
Have tickets for Hamilton.
For Shakespeare in the Park, they visit their cousins. They don't know how they can deal with it.
Yeah. Have you ever walked through a park or through the woods and suddenly felt a sense of peace?
Yes.
You probably had contact with an elemental.
Okay.
And there's...
Oh, I like this idea.
Yeah, there's actually... There are basically four different types.
Okay.
And for the earth, there are gnomes, and there are brownies or elves, and they're mischievous.
Mm-hmm.
And they can move through earth.
Okay.
And solid matter. Okay. And we talked about gnomes.
Yeah.
And they live in the soil, rocks, and beneath the ground and under tree roots.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're very helpful for those who have a connection with them through prior acts of kindness.
Okay. In some situations.
Yeah. And then the air, there are sylphs.
I've never heard that word.
They're air spirits.
Okay.
And they live at the tops of mountains. They float.
As they're wont to do.
Yeah. And they're apparently said to be the most beautiful of all the elementals.
Of course. So they say.
Yeah. They are usually seen with wings, looking like cherubs or fairies,
mm-hmm.
and they leave beautiful green rings in meadows and fields, causing by bending the dewy grass in circles. And sometimes you'll see, like, you're in a meadow, and there's just a ring of flowers. Have you ever seen that?
And I don't even know if I've ever been to a meadow, I'm going to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, but this will happen every so often, that you'll go and you'll be like, that's so weird that the flowers are growing in just like a ring.
So that's like an elemental ring.
That's an elemental thing happening, yeah.
Oh, this is cool.
And they're responsible. They have a profound influence on human mental body and thought. All right. Then there's the water ones, the undines.
So there's like nymphs and things like those?
Yeah, those are nymphs. And they're in the streams and ponds and the sea. And they're greenish in color. And that's shimmery.
How do they look?
Their purpose is to direct the
They're TV ugly.
They're beautiful. No, they say they are beautiful, emotional, graceful nature spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they're like good looking. They're like
they're TV pretty.
They're TV pretty as opposed to movie star.
Yeah, as opposed to movie star level.
Right. And their purpose is to
they give you Hillary Swank, not Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Like they're handsome.
Yeah. They direct the flow of water in all over the planet. They live in coral caves, fountains, lakes, marshlands, rivers, seas, waterfalls. Underneath lily pads.
That's nice.
It's so nice.
So where do any of these, where are the mean badass ones? That's what I'm waiting for.
But they help relate human emotions and soul responses.
Okay.
And
soul responses.
Yeah, they're friendly and approachable and very willing to work with people and help them.
They will work with you.
They will. And then the fire ones are the salamanders.
Okay. Huh?
Yeah, and they're seen in the shape of fiery balls and tongues of fire.
Yeah, you know.
Running over
tongues of fire.
Peering into houses.
These are the guys I want to know more about.
They keep us warm and they help improve the liver, bloodstream, and emotions. Without mm-hmm. these beings, fires cannot exist. You cannot light a match without a salamander's being present.
So which one is the green guys with the sharp hats in the hallway?
So if it's floating and it's green,
mm-hmm.
it's most likely a
prognosis.
And it's not having to do anything with water. It's nope. going to be an air spirit.
Green, floating,
yeah,
with
yeah.
a hat. Okay, I'll take it. Yeah. Well played.
Yeah, so these, they can be friendly, but they also have special influence over those with fiery tempers.
I like it.
I like that. I want to read more because I like fairies.
I want to hear more about the salamander thing. That's weird
yeah.
to me.
But it's not an actual salamander. That's just what they call the flames.
So there's a lot of hullabaloo.
Oh, really?
About what... So as baby boomers are aging, now mm-hmm. we have to deal with super narcissistic old people,
okay.
basically. We yeah. have to deal with the me generation and all of their, you know, their issues. So now that they're becoming grandparents, there's a lot of, as I said earlier, hullabaloo over what they want to be called.
Mm-hmm.
They no longer want to be called grandma or grandpa mm-hmm. because that makes them seem old. I'm like, you're our old.
You are old.
You're a grandparent.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's what that,
yeah.
that's what that means. Like, I'm sorry, you guys aren't going to live forever.
Yeah.
So Steve Miller's grandparents' names goes by Bapa. That's what this guy wants to be called.
Bapa.
Who's
Steve Miller?
Steve Miller's a kid. So okay. he's already got an old-ass name.
So it's not like the Steve Miller band.
No, it's not Steve Miller okay. band. Steve Miller's grandparents' name, a grandparent name is Bapa, right? It's a playful name. It says, oh, sorry, Steve Miller is the guy. And Steve Miller, it says Steve Miller's grandparent name okay. is Bapa.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, Jaquetta Samari's stage name is Felicity or whatever. Persnickety.
Okay.
It gives you permission to be fun and avoid expectations of always having to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're associating with being a grandparent. A grandparent is fun. It can fuck up. Right? So... Mr. Miller has a snow globe containing an image of him holding his grandson and a recording of the baby saying Bapa. He deliberately acts a little wild on purpose to engage his four grandkids. Oh, he's going crazy. He takes him to the backyard, digs big holes with them, fills them with water. This is someone who was a shitty dad and
yeah.
is now trying to,
yeah,
to recreate the right. thing. So it says, for the first time in their lives, so 1.7 million people become grandparents each year. As a part of the preparation, they decide what they do and don't want to be called. In my culture, as a part of the preparation, you think about the child
yeah.
and then the child's parents. Like,
right.
how are you going to support and help them
yeah.
and help to raise a grandkid? But these people are really concerned about what they're going to be called.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying. That's how they prepare for themselves.
Right.
It's for the, so they
so
can
you're
remake
having
babies? Themselves.
What about me?
What about me? Totally.
Yeah.
This is it. So they can remake themselves. A reticent herald can become chief. Would you call your grandfather chief?
No.
Mary can become honey.
No.
So he wants to be called honey. Or people can go traditional Nana, Oma, or trendy. Skipper is popular for grandparents. Or punky is popular for a grandmother.
This is
so bizarre.
Sorry.
I don't get our parents... at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get that generation. Some people pick traditional things like Bubby, Grandma.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. It says, naming a baby is one thing, but naming a grandparent is another. No, it's not. It's nothing.
No,
but
it's
like,
not.
What about the baby?
No, that's something that comes up in your own family, and it kind of is a, spontaneous thing yeah. that happens. It's something that...
Not anymore. Not anymore. It says many grandparents want more distinctive names and they want to choose these names in advance. Mm. So if the kid's like, hey, grandma, it's like, no, mm-mm. it's not grandma. It's Punky.
Yeah.
Grandparents.com features an online name generator. Put in your gender and your first name and then you get a grandparent name. Hers came up as Mommy Claremo. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do
with anything
at all.
It's just they're trying to avoid what they perceive as
the
something
slow
negative.
March to death, yeah. which is we're all going there.
Yeah. They just want to say, oh, I'm not a grandma.
Yeah.
I'm Punky.
So the best part is that someone said they came up with the name Mimi, mm-hmm. and the woman was like, well, that sounds a little too self-centered. I'm like, well, but that's who you are, right. That's what it is.
I've heard somebody else, they call them Packy. That was like a family nickname. That just kind of stuck, and it was...
So here's another one. Yeah. Ms. Welford says she didn't want she called her grandmothers Mama and Grandma, but she felt those didn't fit. Because Mama was heavyset mm-hmm. and wore black lace-up shoes, and Grandma was stylish, but went gray at a young age. So she didn't want any of those names for some bizarre reason. She said, I guess there's a little vanity here, but yeah, I just didn't want to be in that class. Ms. Welford came up with the name Nonna. Her daughter painted a picture frame that said, I love my Nonna. Miss Welford had second thoughts, and she didn't like it. Mm-hmm. So then she scraped off the paint. So the child is calling
Are
the woman
kidding?
Nonna. The mother of the child, this woman's daughter, is like, okay, well, we'll make you a cute little mm-hmm. frame saying we love you. Mm-hmm. And then the grandmother was like, no, didn't like it, and scratched it off.
That's a problem.
And switched it to Mimi.
That's...
And then what, gave it back to them? Like, really?
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? The crafts that you do when you're a kid
yeah.
for your... Can you imagine giving something to your grandparents and being like, that's cute, but hold on.
This is not right.
Right,
like someone draws a picture of you and you're like...
yeah.
You kind of erase
I'm
it.
I'm taller.
I'm thinner.
Yeah. I have a D cup, okay?
Yeah.
Get that on there.
Get that right.
So it says coming
like,
up...
My niece drew a picture of me with my roots coming in. She had blonde hair. And did roots. And I'm
realist.
Like, that's it.
That's it.
That's it. That's me. I didn't say, I hung it up. I said,
and your
great.
Hair just said thank you
yeah.
when you went in. That's how you look.
That's how I look to them. And I didn't say, you know, you got to change that.
When I used to work with kids, they would always draw me really short because I am really short. And all the other adults in the picture were tall. And I was like close to the kid's size. And I'm like, oh, I'm short.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
And they would draw my afro. A little crazy. I mean, that's how it looked.
Yeah.
You know? So it says coming up with the right name can be a long process. Joanne Cantrell didn't have a name until her first grandchild was a year old. So she delayed being called a grandma
wow.
for a year while she discovered the process of what her name should be. Mm-hmm. The whole time my granddaughter was being carried, and even after she was born, I struggled with who should I be. Bitch, you're in your 60s.
You don't know who you are yet.
I've been to Arizona, but I've never been to me. says Miss Cantrell. She talked it over with her hairdresser, who was also going to be a grandmother, and wanted to be called Jammy.
Jammy?
I know. Miss Cantrell's family had always called her Joe or JoJo, or very occasionally, Joe Mama.
No.
No. After a restaurant that her son had lived near. So she suggested Grandma Joe, because she was 27, and she... And her children said she didn't look like a grandma. What does a grandma look like? A grandma is someone who has a child, and that child is a child.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's all.
That happens
at all ages, by the way.
Yeah, it happens. It can happen anytime.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, the cute one that I heard, the Filipino name for grandma is Lola.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Cute, right?
Yeah, I think Greg was telling me the Greek one is like Yaya or something mm-hmm. like that. Like a cultural name.
A cultural
Bubby,
name like that is
Nonna,
yeah, yeah.
like something that like makes sense because it's not really so much about it's your specific name. It's like I'm giving you, it's like aunt.
Yeah.
You are an aunt.
Yeah.
And someone could call you auntie.
That's
it.
Right.
Right? That's not your name, but that's what I'm calling you because that's the position that you have in my life. So Miss Cantrell picks up any of her five children from school. She said the teacher announces your grandma is here. They say that's not grandma, it's Joe Mama. This is going to cause problems.
It's going to be a big
it's
problem.
It's going to cause problems.
It's a big problem.
And then
problem.
Her husband, Art, is Pup Pup. P-U-P-P-U-P. What the hell is wrong with people?
To all that was 40th Street. Hashtag Bonk Life NYC.
What I call my grand, well, my grandparents died when I was young, but I called them Pop-Pop and Mom-Mom.
It was Grandma, Grandpa.
Yeah.
That's it.
I just added on, you know, I called my mom, Mom. So her mother, obviously, Mom-Mom and Pop-Pop. That was it. There was not any discussion about, I want to be called Scamp. You know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's coming up here.
I want to be called Scamp.
So here's a, here's the, in the new grandparents' name book. So these idiots are buying a book now. There's only 700 things in it. Don't bother. We said like 30 right now. Bobber is suitable for a grandfather who likes to fish.
No.
And it's called Robert. Couples sometimes can go by Napa and Sonoma. I just dropped my paper. I don't even care. I'm leaving on the floor.
Napa and
I'm ripping out my afro over this.
You know.
Napa and Sonoma? What is wrong
They should
with
be ashamed of themselves.
They really should be. And I think the person who wrote this article was kind of shining a light on this in a way. Because it's the Wall Street Journal. But still, it's like Napa and Sonoma? Get over yourself.
Well, it's all about them, Jaquetta.
How about old narcissistic bitch and bastard?
O-N-B.
Yeah, how about the people that screwed up my mom and dad?
Right.
It's so bizarre. Napa and Sonoma.
How about, yeah.
God. Joe Mama. They're going to get into fights. Who are you talking about, Joe Mama? What are you talking about?
Joe Mama. Punky.
Punky.
I just love it, like the youth that is associated with the names. It's like, yeah, we all know you're afraid.
But it makes you seem older when you're an old person and you have a small child. It's like, whatever happened to Baby Jane? Whatever happened to Grandma Jane?
Yeah. You know, these are the ones that are going to wear the fashion from the 90s. Yes. They're going to wear the baby doll dresses.
They're going to be, I can see you. I can see Joe Mama's midriff.
Yeah.
And it ain't Purdy. She's no Kate Moss. Yeah. All right. Well, it's so weird.
It is weird.
The whole time my daughter was pregnant, I kept thinking, what am I going to be called?
Yeah.
What about me?
What about
me?
What about me?
Yeah,
my
what
name?
About me?
Boy.
What kind of, yeah. All right. What do you have? So
I
weird.
I have advice on advice.
All right. So advice on advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we try to give advice on, we don't try to give advice. We do,
give advice
about advice because we want to improve upon it.
That's
hence,
right.
Advice on advice.
This is two different advice columnists answer the same letter.
Is it a rap battle?
This is a rap battle. Yes, for
we
sure.
We should do a rap battle of advice.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Okay, so this is actually somebody sent their letter and then both columnists answered.
They jumped
and so
on
they got
it.
Different
oh, cool.
advice.
Okay.
Now, and then we could give our advice after all the
this
advice.
This is advice on advice on advice.
Yeah, yeah.
On advice.
Yeah, I originally had this when Marcy,
okay.
our
resident
intuitive, was here. So we could have gotten like...
More advice.
Yeah, but
I'll try to give you as many levels as I can.
Okay. All right.
And I like to be called Blue.
So the one column is Since You Asked at Salon and Dear Prudence at Slate.
Since You Asked?
Yeah.
That's always like, but I didn't. Okay.
Since You Asked.
I didn't ask.
Since You Asked.
No.
Okay, here's the question. 2 months before I asked my wife to marry me, I cheated on her with a woman I met through an online hookup website.
All right, that happens.
This woman and I met
not
only
to
once.
Not to me, I mean I've heard.
This woman I met only once proceeded to engage in oral sex and felt...
Proceeded to? That sounds like the worst blowjob ever.
And left feeling awkward and guilty.
But did you come?
I never saw her again.
Okay.
I was consumed with guilt and confusion over my double life and wondered if I would
It's just
always...
a beach.
Yeah.
I mean, not that it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I wondered if I would always be a liar and a cheat.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, I was in love with my soon-to-be fiancé, and I made a decision to keep my mouth shut and go ahead with my plans to propose.
Okay.
We've been married for now for nearly 2 years, and most of the time I'm happy.
My That's
wife,
amazing.
Oh, my wife is happy.
Oh, okay. My wife is happy. How do you know?
Yeah. And yet, I still occasionally experience bouts of guilt and emotional pain, not to mention a secret fear that what I did as a senior in college will someday...
Huh?
Somehow be uncovered someday. So he was a senior when he did this. Senior in college.
Oh, they're young.
Yeah, super young.
Not that that excuses it, but he was 21 years old. Probably, that's very young to be getting married. He probably freaked out and was like, okay, I'll go out and get this beach.
Yeah.
But he felt guilty, so that's a good sign.
I've convinced myself that keeping the experience a secret is the best choice, especially now that we are married.
Yeah, I don't want to know about a beach that you had 4 years ago. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying as a wife, I'm putting it out there. I don't care.
If you're not married to the guy and he had a bee.
Yeah. Like right before we got married, probably freaked out. I was like, you got a quick bee from somebody or hoge or whatever.
Furthermore, I resolved from that day to never do anything like that again. Have I made the right choice or am I making excuses for myself in order not to have to do the right thing? I'm tired of feeling like a bad person.
Oh, God. This guy's the guy who, like, oh, you dropped your halo, sir.
Yeah.
You gotta pick that up. Step back on. Only been down for 30 seconds. Still good.
Yeah, so there was the letter, just full disclosure, the letter appeared slightly different in the Dear Prudence column, but it's the same.
So question. It's Prudence versus?
Prudence versus Since You Asked.
Okay.
Since You Asked said, frankly, I lean toward telling your wife. I have a feeling that it would be good for both of you, but I don't know you or your wife, and people can be unpredictable, so it's your decision.
Oh, wow. Who's this one? Girl, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just do whatever.
I don't know you. Right. Yeah, I don't know you. From you or your wife.
I don't know you.
Why ask me?
And I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, you're coming to me with this?
Yeah.
Why?
What do you want? Advice? Do what feels good. That's what you were doing before. Hey, hey.
Yeah. And wow. So then Prudy.
That was it?
That was it. Prudy, meanwhile, didn't come down explicitly on either side. She writes, excuse me while I laugh at your idea of a double life.
This is why I love Dear Prudence.
This one-time event has messed with your head, but since you don't have the life expectancy of a fruit fly, a double life, it isn't. And she concludes, the most destructive thing that you're now doing is letting this episode eat away at you.
Yeah.
Surely there are times when your wife wonders why you're so sad and distracted.
Over a 20-minute beach years ago.
You didn't get an infection from your little frolic, so please stop letting it infect your marriage.
Wow.
Wow.
So here's what I have to say about both pieces of advice. Both columnists felt that this advice was just beneath them. Like, it was such a little...
It's such a dumb
question.
It's
like, I have a hangnail. What should I do?
It's like, are you coming to me?
Really? You know what I do for a living? I solve people's problems.
Yeah.
People come to me when they have real problems, not this. Mm-hmm. But I kind of... So... It's like, tell, don't tell. I think that may be the better way to go. I think this guy should just forget about this, man. Like, is this a big deal?
Yeah.
Is it? Are we just terrible people?
Well, he was in a committed relationship.
Yes, he was. He made a mistake.
Yeah.
And it was a fling. Mm-hmm. Like, he went, I mean, I think it sounds like cold feet to me. And from what I understand, and they're young, I think a lot of people experience that before they're getting married.
Yeah.
They freak out. They don't know what to do. Some people would have a last fling, but this guy sounds like he just wanted to check to see if it was sure. Maybe he just wanted a quick beach. Yeah. I don't know.
But if I were in a committed relationship with somebody and then they went out frolicking,
this is not.
I'd be like, what are you doing?
This doesn't sound like a real frolic, though.
It sounds awful.
It sounds awful. And he feels bad.
It sounds awful from the way he said it. Yeah. I mean, if he had a good time, then I would be angrier.
It sounds like he had a horrible time, and he's ashamed about it. But honestly, if someone... So they've been together now for, what, 4 years? Mm-hmm. Is that what he's saying? Mm-hmm. And if someone came to me after 4 years and was like, look, I just want to let you know that 4 years ago today, I had a really bad 10-minute beach. And I've been feeling I might laugh.
Yeah.
And that might cause a problem. Right?
Well, then he's got to be ready to get laughed at or get a shoe thrown at him.
But it's such a, like, yeah.
If he's going to suffer like this and he can't let it go, then tell him. Yeah,
because if you let this shit go for like 10 years and then it comes out in like a therapy thing of like, maybe he gets so worked up about it, he doesn't want to be intimate with his wife or he feels like he's got to hide something. And they go into therapy and the therapist is like, what was it? 10 years ago today,
yeah.
I had a really bad, it's like, just put it out
just
there.
Just tell her. Because, it, you know what?
What if she's like, that's funny. Because I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I found a woman online. I had a quick
And if
beach.
It is a problem, if it then they need to work
then
it out.
Then they need to work it out. It just seems like just a judgment era. And he seems like generally a decent person because he feels so bad about it.
Yeah. So he feels bad. But you know what? He needs to then take responsibility for it and do it. So I say you tell. And be ready for the wrath or a problem or whatever. Because obviously, if you're feeling that bad about it, then you know that the context of your relationship, this is bad news.
Yeah. Although, I don't know what... I mean, that's a tough one. Like, when I think about being in a relationship for a long time, for an infraction like this, I got to put this in the misdemeanor pile.
Yeah.
You know what? I might say, you know what? I need another ring.
Yeah.
I need some Louboutins, something.
Right. So he's like, gotta then...
We gotta take a week away.
Well, then this is what it's all about. When you do something wrong, then you have to
make up for it.
And you have to be honest about it.
If I were the wife, I'd be like, hey.
And that's right.
What is it that I wanted?
And good. So then...
Yeah. So get it out there in the open. Get that 20-minute terrible beach from 4 years ago today.
And get ready to buy some
jewelry.
Shoes.
Come with shoes. Don't wait.
Yeah.
That's never a bad thing. You show up with a really nice pair of shoes that you know that your lady's going to be into, and then deliver the news.
Or
it's be different.
She gets a 20-minute pass with somebody else.
Yeah. That same chick from the hookup site. From 4 years ago.
Why would you want that, though,
I don't
if it was
know.
Bad news?
I mean, imagine the woman. He said he felt awkward. How'd she feel?
Yeah.
I like that one.
And imagine if this woman is listening, like, that was me.
Yeah.
I'm terrible.
I'm terrible. Is that why I'm where I am today?
Yeah.
All right, so we don't want to leave out our Bigfooters out there. So I'd like to did we already do a tale from their campfire?
Well, it was kind of my elementals.
Bonus tales.
Bonus tales from the campfire.
Gather background
for this bonus round.
For this fast squatching. In a small North Carolina town, something big is spooking residents.
Oh.
Multiple people, or you could say people, you know, have claimed to see a large, furry-looking animal trudging through the woods. Trudging always has had a rough day in Halifax County.
At the office.
Rough day. Sasquatching. Rough day at the office.
Yeah.
There's now even a museum dedicated to sightings in this town. And this woman said, I could literally see him from all the way over here. I started hearing it.
Oh.
Said Tiffany Merrill, who told CBS North Carolina she saw the creature from her kitchen window early one morning. It was very large. And its hair was super long.
Super long.
Super
and glossy.
Long. And glossy. It had a glow.
Yeah.
And when he moved, the light hit it.
And it was just beach waves.
You know what? Sasquatching. Balayage. Right? That's what it is. She described it as a large gorilla weaving through the trees. She never said that. She never said weaving through the trees.
No, she never would have. Knowing her.
In her backyard, crushing large branches in its way. She notified Stephen Barcello, who lives down the street, and investigates strange sightings. Could it have been a guy?
A guy down the street? Is it handily an investigator?
All of these cases, it's like the guy. It's like the guy two doors down
yeah.
happens to run a museum on Sasquatch.
Huh.
So basically, people keep saying it. They dispute that it's not a bear and it's not like a coyote and they've never seen anything else. She's never seen anything like this before.
Okay.
This is her first time seeing it. Apparently she's never watched TV. a lot of people in the town who've had sightings, they still won't come to talk about it because people will fear being ridiculed. And they will be.
They will be. And they should fear it because it's going
to
happen.
Keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
If you see a Sasquatch.
I think I'm going to be ridiculed from this story. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to keep it to myself. Barcello says one of the reasons for the recent sightings may be logging in the forest. Like if they're being flushed out of their natural habitat. Yeah. That's why they're pissed off. They're trudging around trying to find a new place to live.
Right.
You know, it's hard when you're Sasquatch.
The thing is, nobody's ever found a Sasquatch carcass.
I think they just disintegrate. Poof.
Oh.
They're elemental.
Dust. Yeah.
Into dust. So at one point there was a footprint. You know, there's always a footprint. Not very many. Because even though these things are heavy as hell and they trudge all over the place, the footprints are hard to find. So they found the footprint. They made a cast.
And there's no mud anywhere. Yes.
And this guy has created in his home a small museum called the Cryptozoology and Paranormal Museum.
In his home?
In his home.
What does the missus say about that?
I don't think there's a missus.
Okay.
Barcello admits he may never be able to prove Bigfoot's existence. You won't.
Okay.
But he could certainly draw in a crowd to boost the town's tourism to his home. I'm thinking if you're going
to
start...
I can't wait to bring out-of-towners inside my living room.
To your trailer. To your double wide. He said, we're putting Littleton on the map, which is good. And it's for a positive reason.
What's the positive reason?
Sasquatch. I don't know if there's other nasty stuff going on in Littleton. Like it's known for, I don't know, toxic waste or something.
Yeah, like down the street, the Toxic Waste Museum at Charles's place.
A.K.A. Charles's backyard.
Yeah. That's negative.
Yeah,
I have the positive museum.
So
Sasquatch.
So this guy's like having a field day with it, right? Yeah. He's had visitors from South Carolina, West Virginia, Texas, New Jersey, and Florida. So we're laughing at him because he's charging people $10 to come to his double wide.
Yeah, and he's laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Tiffany Merrill is thinking about moving.
What?
She was disturbed by what she saw.
And she's like, I need to get out.
And
of here.
She said, not only did she see the creature come close to her home, her trash has completely vanished. From the foot of her porch steps, and she's seen large footprints circling around the house. She says she no longer feels safe.
Oh.
And she wants to move.
Well, I don't blame her.
It's so bizarre.
If you see that.
It's one of those things, because, like, you've been where I'm from. it is, no one ever sees Bigfoot where I'm from because it's all mm-hmm. black people and we don't generally do that or talk yeah. about it. But the woods behind my mom's house are pretty creepy.
Okay.
But not once ever as a child did I think there was like Bigfoot or see Bigfoot mm-hmm. back there. If I saw something back there and thought it was Bigfoot, maybe I would be freaked out. But mm-hmm. I don't really know. Like, wouldn't you just think it was you're a hunter?
Right.
A bear?
Yeah, we always, like, you know, use our imaginations and yeah. saying, ooh, Bigfoot's out there, and watch out. And we'd stare into the woods like, oh, let's look for him. He's yeah. coming.
We're more like, is that Klan? Like, that's what I'm looking for in the backyard. Like, a white triangle is what I'm looking for. But, like, Sasquatch? Not really.
Yeah, your mind doesn't go to Sasquatch first.
No.
Once I was with my cousin in Colorado. We were in a cabin that was set apart from the rest of the house.
I like it. And, gather back around, people.
Yes. And
here we go.
We were on a ranch, and there were no other houses around us.
What were you guys doing there?
That's where she lived.
Okay. Like it was a vacation or something.
No. This is my aunt has a house.
Okay.
And it's like a little mini ranch that she has. And
does she have animals on the ranch? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. She has miniature horses.
Oh.
And big horses, too.
Regular size horses.
Regular size.
I always wanted the miniature ones. They're like, screw you.
Yeah. Like, one miniature's name was Jaime, high and mighty.
Aw, that's yeah. sad. He's yeah. like, I know you're laughing at me. This shit's not funny.
He was the stud horse, too.
Was he really?
But he was a little small.
How could you tell?
He was a little small for a stud
horse. Even for a miniature horse?
For a miniature horse.
Aw.
And
well, the female horse is like, great, really? Because we've seen regular-sized horse penises.
They had to dig a little trench for the females to stand in.
How embarrassing. Yeah. For everyone. For everyone. I wonder if the female horse was like, don't look at me, don't look at me.
Yeah, anyway, so that was the timing. Anyway, but here we are.
Were the
She's
normal
got a
horses
house.
Looking at them too? Like, it's already bad enough. They're like, look at this jackass in a trench.
Hey, but he was the stud horse.
Was he?
Sure. So on her property, she had a little cabin. That's where my cousin was, and I was staying
okay.
with her. And
here comes the Sasquatch part.
So it's the middle of the night. And mm-hmm. I'm a little afraid of dogs, by the way.
Okay.
I think we talked about this.
And were there dogs present?
There was a dog. There was okay. a German Shepherd inside.
See, that's the worst kind of dog in my mind.
Yeah,
if you're afraid
so I'm just like, she's like, you know, he stays inside the cabin at night. And I'm like, oh, okay,
great.
You know, dealing. And dealing.
Yes, I'm dealing with it. I'm working with it. I'm processing
In the
it.
Middle of the night, I woke up because I heard something outside the cabin. And then I saw a shadow pass by the window. And I heard more footsteps. And somebody was walking around the cabin.
Why?
And then I saw the figure pass by the window again.
Okay.
Never once did I think it was Bigfoot.
He just thought some crazy ass person.
It was a boyfriend, drunk, showing
yeah,
up.
That's what
happens.
That's what I mean. It's going to be someone who's either disoriented or drunk or mm-hmm. a burglar, but like at no point.
Do you ever say?
Would I think Sasquatch.
But a boy, did I hug that dog.
He's like, gonna be like, lady, come on.
I was like, so whatever the dog's like.
He's like, I can smell your fear.
I'm like, Max.
He's like, now you come over here.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to be by you.
So I want to hear one of these. I love miniature horses.
Yeah.
I've only ever seen them like once or twice in my life.
Little cutie pies.
How did this happen? Like, she's obviously.
Why
she's
does the
breeding.
Wind blow?
Do they just get smaller
know.
And smaller? Because that stud horse was already on his way down.
I don't know, but they're cute as all get out, and she would
what
take
do you do?
Them. Oh, you take. She just she loved them, and she would take them to the old cowboys' home. So the cowboys that were retired.
Well, they're like, man, times have changed.
They're
cutting back on everything.
Oh, can you imagine if you were a cowboy and used to ride horses, and now you're an older man in a retirement home,
and a tiny ass horse
comes
in?
Up? Heaven.
How tall are these things? I'm thinking smaller maybe than I should be.
They're like dogs. They're small.
That's hilarious. Do they gallop about?
Yeah.
And they're slowly.
Cute. They're cute.
That's so cute.
They're the cutest things.
Barnyard News as
yeah.
well. Cross segment. I like it.
Okay, this is about baboons.
Okay.
It says, similar to humans, baboons with difficult childhoods die earlier.
Really? It's hard out there for a chimp. What? Sorry.
A University of Notre Dame study reveals that baboons who suffer from stress at an early age, such as being brought up during a drought or haven't experienced the loss of a mother, grow to live shorter lives.
Okay, and also how about being jailed? And by that I mean in a zoo.
Yeah. This study was published over 45 years.
Do they think maybe observing them stressed them out too?
Yeah.
As some creepy dude kept coming by like every year with
and
a clipboard.
On top of that, they say male baboons do not stay in one place, so the group decided to focus on 196 female baboons.
Great. So now they're messing with our women.
Yeah, right? They were used to assess the link between childhood stress and early death. So the drought in the first year of life. Let's see, maternal dominance rank.
Mm-hmm.
Maternal loss before age of four. Competing with younger siblings born less than 1.5 years.
Mm-hmm. That's Irish stressful. Twins, that's stressful. Yeah. Very stressful. My mom and my uncle are like that.
Yeah.
Every picture of them, you can tell they're probably like, if you could just get a little further away from me.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you can't.
Which may divert. What happens with that is that they don't get enough attention from the mother, and so then they have
they're
to
resentful.
Have.
They act out. They join a gang. They start having sex early. And then that's when the monkey midwife is necessary. Right? When monkey Planned Parenthood.
They talk about older focal offspring.
Who's talking about it?
I don't know.
The scientists or the monkeys at this point? I feel like these scientists lose their way.
After years of observation, yeah, the median of 10 years. Yeah, it's a 10-year...
study.
The lowering of the lifespan.
They reduced by a decade?
Yeah.
How long do they live?
Well, no.
Please don't say 20 years. It's like, son of a bitch. My life expectancy is cut in half by that drought.
The female baboons are generally close to their maternal relatives, their mothers, aunts, and sisters, and they groom and rest near them, aid them in social conflict, midwife them, more often than they do non-relatives. So if you're missing that, you're missing all these other elements. You're missing your mother.
I wonder if there's any baboons out there that were like, no, I left because it was toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Don't idealize it.
Right. So the DNA of baboons are 94% similar to humans, mm-hmm. so they feel like those results can translate over into the human experience.
I mean, don't we already know that if you have a rough time growing up and you're separated from your family, that it's going to be harder for you?
Yeah.
And that that affects you, you know, psychologically, physiologically. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not new news. I think these people just like to spy on apes. Like, I think, you know what I mean? I think they just like to harass a baboon. When a baboon is just trying to do what a baboon wants to do.
Yeah, they say, while baboons don't smoke or binge on junk food, they don't carry health insurance, so the difference
they will
in
smoke a cigarette, though,
they
I heard.
Will,
they
yeah.
will smoke a cigarette. And who doesn't like a beer?
Yeah, so they're not sure if just the stress that they're experiencing, how it translates over to human stress that way, but they don't have those coping mechanisms that are actually really bad for you as
what
well.
What about body image? Have they gotten in on that?
I know.
They've shown them pictures of thin baboons. Living it up.
Yeah.
Oh, Kate Moss baboon.
Yeah, right? Getting everything in life.
Yeah.
Because of their weight.
Because of how they look.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
A few episodes ago, we talked about the monkey midwife.
Oh, yeah, the monkey midwife.
Yeah, so it's the idea that people actually saw a monkey help another monkey give birth.
Yeah.
And they called it a monkey midwife.
And they're like, this is amazing. I'm like, it probably happens all the time.
You and me and baby makes three. It's the monkey midwife. Anyway.
Starring Liam Neeson. Okay, so how does the article play into this?
No, this is about buffoons.
I will find you and I will deliver your baby.
I have a special set of skills.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Where's your baby now? We'll find it.
Yeah. You're about to be born.
For Liam Neeson. Okay.
All right. Why Liam Neeson?
Because I put him in everything.
Okay.
Then no matter what happens, he's like, I will find you. And I will induce, you know.
I will induce labor.
I will induce labor.
Yeah.